I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. The Pew Research Center predicts that millennials will overtake baby boomers as the country's largest living generation. Today, a look ahead at what that means for one specific corner of the economy, the housing market. Millennials, who are between the ages of 18 and 34 this year, could represent a large portion of would-be first-time homebuyers, but many are expected to continue renting due to outstanding student loans and stagnant wages. Longtime realtor Jody Landers and Baltimore's Deputy Housing Commissioner Ken Strong join us for a look at the current housing market and what might be ahead for the region. Plus, Discovering Dundalk, a campaign to highlight affordable living on Baltimore County's waterfront. First, the news. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Midday. Dan Rodericks with you every Monday through Friday, noon to 2 here on WYPR Baltimore, WYPF Frederick, Hagerstown, Western Maryland, the Eastern Shore of Maryland through WYPO in Ocean City, and streaming online through WYPR.org. We thank you again for making Midday part of your day. The Baltimore Sun reported that the Baltimore City experienced a slight drop in population from the last estimate that came out, about 600 people, a rounding off that figure, according to the mayor. Of course, the mayor has an ambition. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake declared ambition of attracting 10,000 new families to Baltimore City in the next decade. As discussed yesterday on the show when Kirby Fowler was here from the downtown partnership, the city continues to develop new apartments in downtown Baltimore, renovations of existing buildings, office buildings, a lot of them, into apartment buildings. And there's also some new ones going up. That includes the two-tower, 476-unit complex under construction where the Morris Mechanic Theater once stood on Baltimore Street. Will these additions draw in new residents or simply leave a glut of apartments? Today we're taking a look at the region's housing trends, not just the city, but the whole area. Are there more people buying homes than renting? Which neighborhoods are considered hotspots right now, seeing the fastest sales, seeing growth in population? Last week, Realty Track reported that nationally, the growth in the price of homes had outpaced the growth in wages across the country, 13-to-1 ratio. That doesn't sound too good. We have to talk about that during this hour of the show, what exactly that means. Later during this hour, Diane Lessman will be joining us from the Dundalk Renaissance Corporation to talk about the effort being made in southeastern Baltimore County in the Dundalk area to revitalize that community and to promote affordable homes and housing in Dundalk. Also joining us in this hour, Ken Strong, Deputy Housing Commissioner for Baltimore City. Nice to see you, Ken. Nice to have you on the show. Diane will be with us in a minute. Ken is already in the studio with us, along with Jody Landers, a Baltimore-based realtor and expert in this market and former vice president of the Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors. Jody, nice to have you on the show.
Nice to be here, Dan.
So let's see. There's a lot on the table here. Let's just talk overall, the overall picture of what's going on here. I know the sales were good in January and February in the Baltimore region, and that's supposed to be a good omen for the spring.
I think, indeed, the market is picking up. When you look at every indicator, the number of contracts that came in February alone, a big increase over last February. When you look at year-to-date, they're picking up in terms of sales, in most places in terms of sale prices also, but not all. And then also in terms of pending contracts. So what's happened, though, in some markets is now you're beginning to see absorption of inventory. So inventories are beginning to drop, which is a healthy thing. On average, you want to see about 5 months' worth of inventory out there. And when it goes below that, then it kind of leans toward a seller's market. And when it goes above that, it leans towards a buyer's market. One thing I want to say, Dan, like you threw out some statistics there, and I may talk about a few statistics, but all real estate is local.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take these national numbers or statewide numbers or even citywide numbers and kind of extrapolate it across all markets. You really have to drill down to an individual neighborhood. And even in neighborhoods, the market is segmented. So you know that old adage about real estate. It's location, location, location. Well, in Baltimore City, there's 250 individual neighborhoods, all distinct, eclectic housing, different price ranges, styles of housing. So it's just really important to bear that in mind. These statistics don't apply across the board.
And you say there's a lot of variation in prices across the region. Like if you go up to Harford County, what are we seeing? Can you say what we're seeing in Harford County year over year, 2014 to 2015?
Yeah, the median sale price in Harford County in February was $226,000. That's up 4.2%
okay,
over
so
last
4.2% over last year.
Right.
So how about Baltimore County?
Carroll County was up 4.7% over last year.
Okay.
Baltimore City, in terms of the median sale price, actually saw a decline in median sale price. Part of that is driven because of an increase in the number of foreclosures that came on the market. There was a decline in the number of new filings in foreclosures in 2014. But what we're still dealing with is foreclosures that have taken place 3 years ago and are now just coming on the market. Because when I drilled down into certain neighborhoods, what I saw was actually a decrease in the number of distressed sales in 2013. And they bounced back up in 2014 as the banks and lenders push more of these properties back out into the market.
Can you explain that a little bit more for us? Why does it take 3 years to see that?
Well, Maryland has some laws in place that require mediation, so there are some more safeguards and protections designed to try to help keep people in their home. So it takes a little longer. And then in our particular market area, because of the high volumes, I think that a lot of the lenders have wisely chosen not to just push all of these properties out onto the market at the same time. Generally, what I see in the market is foreclosures sell at about 60%, 50 to 60% of what a standard sale goes for in the same neighborhood, even on the same block. So foreclosures are greatly discounted, and oftentimes that's because a foreclosure has been sitting vacant for 3 years.
Those numbers that you gave us, certainly not as bad as they were 4 or 5 years ago.
No.
We're
starting to see declines, but as I said, just this past year in 2014, there was a bump up in the number of foreclosure sales.
Ken, what do you make of that? What Jody said, because of the laws that are in place to slow things down a bit?
Yes, and when those laws were passed, there was a delay factor in the foreclosure filings processing. So we're seeing the result of that. They got backed up in the system, and now they're coming online.
Yesterday, Kirby Fowler was here from the Downtown Partnership giving us his report, his State of the Downtown report, which I guess he delivered this morning at their breakfast. And we talked a lot about rentals, the number of rental apartments that have come online in Baltimore City. So I'm wondering, what does the city picture look like, rentals versus home ownership, generally speaking, across the city?
Well, roughly it's 50-50.
Has it been that way a long time?
Development. I think it's been that way for some time. It varies some, but generally we're a 50-50 split between renter and homeowner. And we encourage both. We're trying to grow Baltimore by 10,000 households in 10 years, and that includes renters and homeowners. And we've seen a big boost since Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake and Commissioner Graziano launched the BHIP program, Baltimore Homeownership Incentive Program. More people are using the very substantial incentives that Baltimore City offers to buy homes and to choose Baltimore as their new home as a result.
We're going to go over that during this hour with Ken Strong, who's Deputy Commissioner of Housing in Baltimore City. 410-662-8780. Again, a question for millennials. If you're between 18 and 34 years old this year, by the way, your population group now is the largest, is going to surpass the baby boomers as the largest living generation.
This year,
yeah. So if you're in that category, 18 to 34, have you been able to buy a house? Are you thinking about buying a house? Do you think that's an impossible dream? We want to talk about that in this hour of the show. 410-662-8780 is how to reach us. You can send us an email to midday@wypr.org. Because this has come up more than one time. When people hear about all these renters, college debt, young people, young adults coming out of college loaded with debt, wondering, how am I going to buy a house? Unless I inherit a house, I'm probably not going to be able to buy a house. And baby boomers are wondering, well, who's going to buy our houses in the suburbs as well as in the city, wherever you live? Do you want to address that for a moment, Jody?
Well, you know, there's a wide range of prices out there. I mean, you know, in Baltimore City, the median sale price is $82,000. In Baltimore metro area, it's $225,000. In Anne Arundel County, it's $287,000. So, no, a recent college grad is probably not going to buy a house in Anne Arundel County. And they're not certainly not going to buy it on the waterfront.
Right.
But there are a lot of options out there. There are a lot of choices in terms of neighborhoods, housing styles, and prices. So I wouldn't be discouraged. The other thing that Ken can talk about is, and I can talk about somewhat, is all the incentives that are out there, both in the city and the county, but particularly in the city, when it comes to helping people purchase homes.
Do you want to do that right now, then, Ken?
I'd love to.
Let's run over you call it BHIP, which is a great pseudonym for it. Baltimore, not pseudonym, but abbreviation. Baltimore
acronym.
Baltimore, thank you. Baltimore Home Ownership Incentive Program. So why don't you go to town on this for a minute, since we're talking about young people buying homes, possibly buying homes.
Yeah, and young professionals are some of the biggest part of our home ownership market in Baltimore. It's been a growing part of it. And the substantial incentives that we have that include, if you buy a formerly vacant house that had a vacant building notice and it's been rehabbed for new home ownership, you qualify for $10,000 in home buying assistance.
That's part of the vacancy to value program?
Yes, it is. And if you are a city employee, you qualify for $5,000 in home buying help. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake allows these to be layered and to be combined. So if you buy a vacant house and you're a city employee, $15,000. The Community Development Block Grant Program for first-time home buyers is also $5,000. And that program is one of our biggest growing ones.
That's
you mentioned some of the change. The mortgage lending market got very restricted after the mortgage debacle that the whole country experienced some years ago. We're recovering from that. The market is opening up again for people of all incomes, and banks are being more open to you still need good credit. You still in Baltimore City, you have to go through home ownership counseling and get a certificate. We have protections built into our program so that we don't experience what we did some years ago with the mortgage crisis. But it's opening up much more.
Let me just add something here. This program you're talking about, the Community Development Block Grant, $5,000.
Yes.
First-time home buyers with total family income at or below 80% of the area median income.
Right.
So where is that nowadays?
For an individual, that's in the neighborhood of $42,000 a year. For a family of four, in the neighborhood of $64,000. It changes every year. They recalculate it.
Hmm.
But it's in that neighborhood, and that's a still a good range for us.
And there's a lot of demand for that?
Absolutely, yeah.
And
Jody,
how about live near your work? You're going to get that?
And then we should talk about buying into Baltimore also. But live near your work is where we match employers up to $2,500 each, and that creates a $5,000 incentive for an employee to buy. And that's a grant.
I had a question about that yesterday for Kirby Fowler. I asked, you know, how are we doing? How is the city doing generally in terms of employers offering incentives like that to their workers, live near your work programs?
So Johns Hopkins is our biggest regional employer, biggest employer in the Baltimore area. They contribute $23,000 to employees buying homes in the neighborhoods around the Homewood campus. In the neighborhoods around Johns Hopkins Hospital, they offer $36,000 in home buying help.
But
that is huge. But we have 80 to 100 other employers.
That's what I was going
to
say. There's about 80 other employers in the city. Under Armour is a participant. There are a number of other large employers, and even some small and medium-sized employers that participate in that program. The other thing that I know Ken is going to mention is the Buy Into Baltimore, where the Live Baltimore program offers 100 grants every year. They do 60 through two neighborhood through two citywide tours, and one is coming up in early May, and then they do four smaller neighborhood tours where they give out 10 grants of $5,000 apiece. So there's a lot of incentives out there for people to buy in Baltimore and get some help in doing it.
If you go to the Dan Rodrigues Facebook page right now, you'll see information about Buying Into Baltimore, that house tour. bus tour of Baltimore neighborhoods to preview homes for sale, sponsored by Live Baltimore. That's coming up on May 9th. And also the Dundalk Housing Fair, information about that, too, because we'll be talking with Diane Lessman about the Dundalk Renaissance during this hour of midday. 410-662-8780 is our phone number here. Jody Landers was just speaking. Ken Strong, who is a Deputy Housing Commissioner of Baltimore City. We'd like to hear from you if you're in the market for a house, if you've given up, or you're looking at a different neighborhood now because you couldn't get into the one you wanted. Anyway, what's your experience out there looking for a home? If you're a millennial between 18 and 34, do you have a plan to buy a house? Are you thinking about asking or applying for one of these incentives? 410-662-8780 is our number. Welcome back to Midday. By the way, Jody Landers, you heard me mention that statistic about wages versus, you know, the rising
cost of prices.
Yes. Prices of homes, right? The growth. Yes. And everybody knows that wages aren't growing at that rate. But what does that mean to you? I know you don't want to talk about the national picture, but just in terms of, isn't that part of the problem, too? It isn't just debt. It's whether you can afford to buy a house based on your income.
It's debt and whether you can afford to buy a house. But when most people, if they would sit down and do the analysis, more times than not, they would find they're better off buying a home and can actually reduce their housing costs because of the other benefits that come with the tax deductions and so forth. So and the other thing is, even if prices don't go up, you tend to build equity because you're paying down on the mortgage.
But so, you need a down payment.
But you need a down payment, and that's where some of these incentives and these other programs come in. And the other point is, it's very often the case these days that sellers make contributions to help buyers purchase a home.
Well, how does that work?
The seller will say, I'll contribute $5,000 toward down payment and closing costs if I get the right contract. And that's very common. I can pull up neighborhood after neighborhood, and you'll find maybe a third of all the transactions involve some kind of seller subsidy.
What are interest rates like right
now? Interest
like
rates
now.
Are great.
Well, like right now, sorry.
That's the other thing. Interest rates are great. Interest rates are hovering between the high threes and into the mid fours. So right around 4%, you're going to be able to find a 30-year fixed mortgage, oftentimes with no points at all. And I think that's one of the other things that's driving the market, because we all know, given what's happening at the national level with the Fed, that at some point interest rates are going to begin to inch up. So I think that that's one of the things that's helping to fuel this market, because this spring market is one of the strongest ones we've seen in a long time.
Jody Landers is a Baltimore-based realtor, former executive vice president of the Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors. Ken Strong is with us, deputy commissioner of housing. Gentlemen, I want to take a couple of calls here so folks aren't holding too long. 410-662-8780 to tell us about your house hunting experience. Michael in Towson, we'll go to you. Hi, Michael.
Big fan. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Just want to let you know I'm a millennial. Work as a teacher in Anne Arundel County. Always hard to get raises there, so we couldn't buy in Anne Arundel County, so we just got accepted in Dundalk. You know, that area, I mean, $30,000. The biggest part for us was trying to come up with a down payment. Because some of my friends in college just told me, you know, just start your 403B and just throw in $50, you know, and so I'm going to use that as, you know, that incentive of using partially, you know, some of that for a down payment and just kind of slaving away, putting away $50 a month or whatever.
So, excuse me, Michael, did you buy a house or you're in the process of trying to buy a house?
We just got accepted. We're, you know, going through all the, you know, home inspections and all these other things that, you know, actually do rack up a little bit of cost.
So your contract was accepted. And the program that you're talking about, is that the program that's through the state that provides down payment and closing cost assistance for teachers?
No, we looked into that. But, you know, the big problem with some of that, I feel like, is, you know, they kind of tell you that the neighborhoods you can kind of like look and to kind of get those deals. So we didn't necessarily choose some of those options where you don't necessarily have to have as much. We did get the Federal Housing Authority to give us, you know, that little kind of incentive that you really only have to have 3.5%, but it's still, you know, $10,000, you know. And
Michael, excuse me, what are you paying for the house?
227 is what we got accepted about.
227 is how many bedrooms?
4 bedrooms, 3 baths, no backyard really. I mean, it's just, you know.
In Dundalk. Like,
still a nice size house. And you're going through FHA. That's what I hear you saying. You're putting 3% down.
Okay. Listen, Michael, thank you for that call. He mentioned a state incentive. By the way, we're going to be talking about Dundalk in a few minutes here. But the state has incentives, too. Jody mentioned one for teachers.
Dan, I'm glad you brought that up because the State Maryland Mortgage Program has an array of incentives through their qualified lenders. And when you use the Maryland Mortgage Program, you can get up to $8,500 in extra down payment, closing cost, and home buying assistance. And one of their newest programs, the Maryland Home Credit Program, allows you to take 25% of your mortgage interest payments, up to $2,000, as a federal tax credit every year of your mortgage. That adds up to a huge incentive. Not enough people know about that.
How do you qualify, though? Is it based on income?
You qualify through your lender. They have to be participating in the program. They don't have to use the Maryland Mortgage Program, but many do. And it's a great program, Maryland Mortgage Program.
And by the way, the income.
But I want to understand. Excuse me. I want to understand something. These incentives, they're not just for everybody. I mean, it must be based on people of a certain income level.
Yes, there are income levels. They're relatively high for the Maryland Mortgage Program in Baltimore City. If you're one or two person and your family income is in the neighborhood of $104,000 or less, you qualify.
That's what I wanted to say. It's $104,000.
Wow. I'm a little surprised at that.
It's very generous.
Yeah, that is. That's good to hear. Let's go to Highlandtown and take a call from Mark. You're on Midday. Mark, hi.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good.
So my wife and I are both pastors. I'm in Highlandtown. She's out in Harford County. And 3 years ago this June, we purchased a house on Highland Avenue in Highlandtown.
All right. What did you pay for it? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was $140.
$140, and it's a row house. How many bedrooms?
It's 3 bedrooms, 3 full baths.
Yeah. All right. Nice. And how did you pull that off, Mark? You just saved up for a down payment?
Yeah, so we've done pretty well school-wise and scholarship-wise, so we weren't carrying a lot of debt. And then we spent about, I guess I've been working full-time for 3 years out of grad school, and my wife about 2 years, and we'd saved up enough money to put a pretty good down payment in.
Okay.
And what is your monthly housing payment, if I can just ask?
Yeah, it's less than $1,000.
Less than $1,000.
Yeah, it's like $900 or something. And in this neighborhood, and I think it's true in a lot of areas, that's significantly cheaper than our house would rent for. So our house would rent for probably $1,500 a month. And,
that's why I asked that, because I want to get that point
he's
across.
He's making your point. Yeah, he's making your point. You don't know this guy either, do you?
No, I
didn't have him call in to say, hey, back me up on this.
No.
Thank you very much, Mark. Yeah, good luck with your house. Leslie in Harford County. Welcome to Midday. Hi.
Hi. Thanks, guys. I'm not a millennial. I'm a little bit older than that. But I remember when I bought my first house in Baltimore City. Now we're out in the county with our family. But I had just finished grad school at Hopkins and was working at Hopkins. I took advantage of the Live Near Your Work program and bought a house in Charles Village. At the time, I was paying $850 in rent for a house in Ednor Gardens behind where the Y is now. And I ended up getting a house with the $5,000 assistance, as was mentioned earlier, through Live Near Your Work, with $2,500 from the city and $2,500 from Hopkins. And I lived there for about 8 years. Ended up selling it at around $60,000 profit. And had an ample amount to put over to my new house in Harford County. However, at the time, I was around 23, 24, I think. Everybody was telling me I was crazy to be buying a house. You're only 23. You just got out of grad school. What are you doing? But to me, it made sense. Mm-hmm. And my payment was less than $850 than what I was paying for my rent at the time. And it was a nice place for me, and I really enjoyed it. And I think that, you know, young people shouldn't be afraid, you know, despite what your parents or other people may tell you. If it makes financial sense for you, It is a good option, and it can pay off in the long run.
Thank you for that call, Leslie.
Dan, yeah, one of the things I think we should point out here is if you want to get involved in the housing, if you're looking for a home, one of the places to start to demystify some of this is go to a housing counselor program. Every single one of the incentives that Ken has talked about and the incentives that you can get in the county area all require that you go to a housing counseling program and get a certificate. It helps demystify it. The housing counselors are aware of a lot of these incentives so they can steer you in the right direction. And once you complete that, you have your certificate, then you qualify for these
programs.
Where do you
go for that?
So that's a place to start.
Where do you go for that?
Well, we have a list of HUD-certified housing counseling agencies. You can find them and a ton of other information at www.livebaltimore.com.
Okay, that's on our Facebook page,
and
on our website.
And it has information about neighborhoods, about schools, about all the homeownership incentive programs. Live Baltimore is a tremendous partner.
Let's take a call from Hannah in Baltimore. You're on Midday. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
I'm a millennial, so is my wife. We purchased a house in Southwest Baltimore right near St. Agnes Hospital, and it fell into our lap. We got it for an incredibly, ridiculously low price. We had to do a lot of work on it because it was a foreclosure. We took advantage of a lot of the programs, and our mortgage is less than half of what our rent in the same area was. But I think that the elephant in the room is that we would not have purchased that house, and we love our house. We would not have purchased it if we had the intention of having children, because the neighborhood schools are so poor that we would have had to have footed a bill for private school and live there at the same time, and it would have been cheaper to move to the county where housing is exorbitantly expensive. And I think that what we're seeing is a lot of the same thing that Elizabeth Warren talks about in her two income tracks, where the millennials who want to get housing, who are carrying this student debt, are having to take on more debt so that they don't have to take on the debt of private schools for their kids. And if you want to have those kids, you're not really willing to sacrifice their education. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the investment in the public schools in our areas that I have any confidence that it's going to get better in the next 10 years. So I could not have taken advantage of all of these opportunities to buy in the city had I decided to be a mother.
You know what? One of the things I do want to point out, though, is I don't think you can use a blanket statement. You have to look at the schools in an individual neighborhood because they're all different and unique. The city in particular has more charter schools than any other subdivision in the state of Maryland. There are a lot of choices in the public domain and also in the private domain. But it doesn't just have to be private. Like I say, there are choices in the public domain as well when you look at the charter school choices that are out there. So I hope people don't just stay away from the city or any given neighborhood because they think all the schools are bad. That is not the case. You really have to, just like you shop for a home, shop for a school.
What do you want
and
to say,
you can
Ken?
Do that shopping at livebaltimore.com.
Yes.
They just enhanced their website. There's information about schools across the city. And as Jody says, there's some fabulous schools in Baltimore City. And when you're looking for a home, if you have a school-aged child, you want to shop for a neighborhood and a school, and you can do that on livebaltimore.com.
You know, the three of us all want to see Baltimore succeed. A lot of people listening, of course, want to see Baltimore succeed. Some people don't care who are listening one way or the other. But, you know, we're invested in the city. We want to see the city grow and prosper. And this always comes up whenever we get into this conversation. When we're looking at population trends, business trends in Baltimore, the economy, the jobs. Kirby was here giving a very positive report about downtown yesterday, you know. There's a lot of positive trends you can point to. And even in the investment in the Baltimore schools that we see coming, that's going to take a little while, that's looking better all the time. But this always comes up where people say, okay, you know, I'll buy a house in the city, but if I'm going to have kids, you're going to see me in Perry Hall. You know, I'm going to end up in Towson or something. And I don't know, you know, when is that going to change?
I think it's changing already.
You think it's changing? You have to
reach
a tipping point.
No, I agree with you.
It
takes some time. It takes a tipping point. But Jody's exactly right. You can't paint all of Baltimore City with the same brush. There are some fantastic schools in Baltimore City, and the charter school movement in Baltimore City has been stronger than anywhere else in the state. And we have a growing movement of school improvement. And what Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake has done with the state in making capital improvements in that school system is going to transform neighborhoods in our school system.
Jody, I want to ask you about another aspect of this before we take a break here, because we talked about this when you were on the show before, especially during or right after the recession hit, the housing bubble and all, property taxes versus home prices, right? Richard wrote in yesterday when Kirby was here, I saved his letter. He says, isn't the real issue in Baltimore City the high property taxes versus neighboring counties? I currently live in Waverly and I'm looking to buy a home. The row houses are affordable here, but if I go to Baltimore County, I can get a row house in certain areas for comparable prices with half the taxes. And remember, the point you used to make was, well, it was always for years where, the taxes were higher in Baltimore City, but the initial sale price in Baltimore County was always higher.
Offset it, right?
And then that started to change after the recession.
Yeah.
So where are we now with that? What do you think?
Well, I think we're kind of back to where we were. I think that there are some, in terms of prices, the prices have come down in a number of areas. There are a lot of neighborhoods that are very affordable. And in fact, in
the city, you mean?
In the city.
Yeah.
MRIS issued a report, the 20 hottest home buying spots, most affordable home buying spots in the Baltimore metro area.
In the whole region?
In the whole region. And let's see, 7-8 of those census tracts are in Baltimore City, either in their entirety or partially.
Can you give us the
eight
top
of
10?
The 20, yeah.
What's the top 10?
The top 10 are 21214 Northeast Baltimore, 21239, again, Northeast, 21234, again, Northeast, 21207, the Woodlawn area, which bridges the city and the county.
These are the hottest areas.
These are the most affordable, hottest in terms of affordability in the whole Baltimore metro area. 21206, the Gardenville area. 21211 over on the
Remington, Irvington
area. No, that's right. It's Remington. Yeah. 21229, which is over in the Irvington area. And the last one in the city is Curtis Bay. 21226.
When they say affordable, they mean the cheapest prices? What does that mean?
They mean the lowest prices relative to where the average sale price is in the entire region.
Okay.
So, for
because
example,
when you say hot, you know, when some people hear the word hot, they mean, oh, great value, great neighborhood, you know, not necessarily the most affordable either. Right.
Well, these are affordable. 21239, the median selling price is $105,000.
And that's in the northeast side of the city?
Yeah. And 21214, which is an area I'm very familiar with, the median sale price was $137,000. So you're looking at very affordable prices. I know you're going to have Dundalk on. The Dundalk area, $106,000 median sale price. So there are a lot of choices that people have out there. One of the things I want to mention, though, is that we really are seeing a pickup in the market, and the volumes have increased. The prices are, you know, they're not going wild like they were. You're seeing some modest appreciation in prices, which is what you want to see.
Single digit.
Yeah, single digit.
Not double digit.
Not double digit. And we were at a point in time in 06 and 07 where, you know, prices were going up 20% a year. I mean, we knew that wasn't sustainable.
So we're now, you mentioned Harford County like 4%, Baltimore County 4.5%.
Yes, right.
The city down a bit, but coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. And the city was up at times when the counties were down just in the last few years. Yeah. Jody Landers is with us, and Ken Strong, Deputy Housing Commissioner of Baltimore City. Diane Lesman is going to be joining us next, Marketing Director for the Dundalk Renaissance Corporation. She'll tell us about the progress they're making in revitalizing that Baltimore County community and talk about housing in Dundalk when she gets with us. So a short break. We'll be right back. And welcome back. We'll continue to take some phone calls about the housing market and your experiences in it. 410-662-8780. Let's take CJ's call before we get to our next guest. It's because CJ's in a car, and I don't know how long he'll last there.
I'm
CJ, thanks for calling.
Yes, I just bought a new home, actually a new old home, 1880 gut and complete reno in Hamden. I love my house, but I beg to differ on your guest comments about affordability. A rehab in Hamden, it should be no more than 120 grand, yet I paid 245, which I think is a steal for this house, but I've seen people pay upwards to 300,000 in Hamden, and I do not believe the costs are. Comment two, when I bought the house just last, week, I was a little disappointed that the public works and the mayor changed their policy on water. Now they can take your house on two quarters or 249, and you had the guy on your TV, on your radio show, and nobody commented about that. I was really disappointed he got off with a lauded, comment.
Okay, well, hold on, man. There's a couple of things going on here. That's a lot in one conversation. Let me just separate things out, CJ. You say
Thanks. You
got a rehab for $245, and you think that was a good deal?
Yes, for this house.
Okay,
it was beautiful.
And how many bedrooms in that house?
It's supposed to be three, but they took one bedroom, and I have a huge master bathroom. It's just stunning.
Okay, so you're happy about it. I mean, Hamden is kind of hot, right? It's been hot for a few years now, right? So
it's very hot, okay. But some of these hot, I beg to differ on some of that. I think the skews are off because a couple of people bought completely unrenovated houses for over $200,000, and they threw the numbers way off, and I just could not see the prices. And most of the people selling now bought way high in the market when the bubble was high, and they're not really making any money off of what they're trying to sell at right now.
Okay, before I let you go.
They bought high and they're trying to sell high at the same price they bought pretty much.
Before I let you go, you disagree that if someone is 6 months behind on their water bill and $250 that the city should not be cutting them off?
I think they should cut the water off, but I don't think they should take their house.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to continue anymore. In fact, Joan Jacobson was on, was it last week? We were talking about tax sales in Baltimore City and some of the reforms of the tax sales that are going on in Annapolis. And I can't remember exactly what she said about overdue water bills, but I don't think that's going to be an ingredient anymore in the loss of anybody's home. Ken, do you know about that?
I do. The state legislature, at the city's request, we're raising that limit to 750. So you have to be really far behind on your water bill before it's a candidate for tax sale.
It is an ingredient. It's just that the threshold is higher.
Higher threshold, right. And we're working harder to find ways to help people who are in that predicament.
All right. Thank you very much. I want to welcome to the show Diane Lessman, Marketing Director for the Dundalk Renaissance Corporation, which has been working on getting the word out about Dundalk since 2001. Right, Diane?
That is correct.
So there was a transition that had to take place there because of the loss of industry, the loss of manufacturing, just the changing of the demographics, I guess, of Dundalk. Is that what brought about the Dundalk Renaissance?
Well, actually, what specifically brought that about was the UDAT process in 2000 into 2001.
What is that?
That's one of those terms. It's the Urban Design Assistance Team, which is a community-based planning process. And they bring together, in the case of Dundalk, who hosted this for Dundalk in 2000, 2001, in that area, experts in the field of architecture, landscape architecture, urban planning, transportation, and economics. They volunteer for a week of intensive forums, community meetings,
but the reason
tours.
The reason I stated, right? Dundalk was going through a transition.
Absolutely.
So,
and then the DRC was born out of that week-long UDAT study, a group of people who wanted to continue the research, the questions, the answers.
You were losing population.
Not currently.
No, I'm talking about 2001. I'm talking about back then when the
Absolutely.
Whole thing got started.
Absolutely.
So what's the thrust of the Dundalk Renaissance Corporation when it comes to housing in particular?
When it comes to housing, because we are a community development corporation, when it comes to housing, we have some programs of our own. We're not as big as some of the other CDCs in the area, but we do our own renovations and then put them back on the market affordably. We are interested also have been for some time with helping home buyers with some different incentive programs to improve their properties. And then most recently, because it's so true that the city has this large toolbox of incentives for purchase, and they are attracting home buyers, we did our first Dundalk housing fair last September, and we had a grant program funded through a grant we wrote to the county that offered 35,000 home buyer grants and not restricted to new home buyers or first time home buyers. And now for our second housing fair on April 18th, we have that program plus a second program funded by the state.
Dundalk, for years, as I said, was a blue-collar neighborhood. It's got a great housing stock. It's on a waterfront that was mostly industrial for a long time, right?
Well, there are
spots. I know. There's the Sparrows Point Country Club. I know.
You can
some
buy a waterfront property in the Dundalk area for under $300,000.
You're right. But the reputation generally was working-class industrial area. Who wants to live there? And Dundalk was the brunt of jokes for many years.
Yes.
Let's say all that, too.
Absolutely.
But it's a great community. There's some beautiful homes down there.
And Dan, I think Dundalk has the same issue that the city does. People aren't just buying in the city. They're not just buying Dundalk. Dundalk is a collection of 28 different neighborhoods. The city is a collection of 250 neighborhoods. So you can't just kind of blanket everything. Mm-hmm. You really need to look. When you buy a house, it isn't just Dundalk. You're buying in a neighborhood. It isn't just you're buying in the city. You're buying into a neighborhood. And it was interesting that previous caller, when he talked about he paid such a higher than the median sale price in that area because he found the value there.
What do you say?
That's the point.
He said $227,000 for four bedrooms.
Right.
And he's a millennial. He's a young guy.
He found the value in that house, even though if you look at the median sale price overall in that area, it's much lower because they're not all rehab. They need work. Some of them are one bathroom. They need two. I mean, there are a whole lot of reasons that go into us creating value.
Diane, are there still waterfront properties for sale?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
In fact, I would have loved to have known where that caller bought, because when he described that price and four bedrooms and so on, I think it could have been some of our newer construction, which is very unexpected in Dundalk. But we have Yorkway Development a few years ago, Stansbury Shores, the village at Bear Creek, which is, these are all wonderful new buildings. Cahove Nania now has 108 units, although some have sold new townhomes. And I just learned 2 days ago that Ryan Homes, which is Stansbury Shores, is going to begin their second large project, a full-service marina. They will have townhomes that can be up to four bedrooms, three and a half baths. So people don't expect that in Dundalk.
You know, I know. There's a lot that's unexpected about Dundalk, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I think your URL for one of these websites is Unexpected Dundalk.
That's the result of our branding.
Okay. It's something I want to mention here. A lot of folks may not know what we're talking about, Dundalk, where it is.
Oh,
and
okay.
And I didn't even do that. I say southeast of Baltimore County on the waterfront. I mentioned Sparrows Point. Uh-huh. It's over in that direction.
Right.
Do a Google map. You'll find Dundalk if you don't know where it is. And it's not that far from the city.
Oh, my heavens.
It's attached to the city, practically.
It is attached to the city. We can walk across a few blocks and end up at the new Amazon buildings where there's so much more employment coming our way.
Browning Highway.
Yes.
All right.
Some of the Dundalk neighborhoods are in the city.
I was just going to say.
That is true.
Isn't there a city Dundalk and a county Dundalk?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Diane, I'm glad you're here. And if you have any questions for Diane about the Dundalk Renaissance, give us a call, 410-662-8780. We're running out of time. I want to take some calls generally on housing. We'll go to Jack in northeast Baltimore. And then George is in Dundalk, so we'll get a call from George in Dundalk. But Jack first. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, guys. Now, nice to talk to you. I happen to live in a neighborhood that Jody Landers knows pretty well. But Jody, I don't know if you recognize my voice.
I do.
We moved into the neighborhood in 93, or 95, in fact. We moved there because we had a little girl who was 18 months old, and we could get a better deal moving into staying in the city and putting her in a private school than we could going into the county and getting a public school. And we had too many people who had told us, hey, I love the elementary school, but when my daughter moved to the middle school, they didn't like it, but they couldn't afford to do anything about it. And we had a lot of options because of all the various private schools in the area.
Jack, you're talking about Lauraville.
I am, yes.
Right. Thank
you. What's interesting, though, is that when she was in high school, we had a couple more kids, and she was going to the Baltimore School for the Arts. Rather than take her out of that good school we actually took advantage of the Healthy Neighborhood Initiative funding that was available for renovations, and we doubled the size of our house to stay in the same neighborhood.
Hmm.
And my kids love the neighborhood. They love the city. They love the diversity where we live. They really don't want to live anywhere else. And we have plenty of friends who live in other places. I got to say, we have made a lifestyle in the city, and we've enjoyed it. I don't think we would like the suburbs anymore.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for those comments. We're short of time here, so I want to try to get a couple more calls in. George in Dundalk, welcome to Midday.
Hi, Dan. I'm a big fan of your show. I actually do some work with the Dundalk Renaissance Corporation on occasion. I'm working in Dundalk as an inspector. But what I'd like to talk to about is basically I was looking for a house in Hamden, and the issue is that, you know, when my father's in his 50s, and he has been in Hamden for 20 or 30 years, but, you know, the impression of people at that age is that Hamden was not a good neighborhood. And now you have Station North becoming a better neighborhood. So my problem with investing in the city is that you buy a 30-year mortgage note, in 20 years, gentrification or just a downfall of a neighborhood of a couple blocks away can really change what my home is worth.
Well, wait a minute. Gentrification versus downfall, those are like, it could go
two different ways. Of the spectrum.
So yes. I guess, I don't know how you make a decision about what's a neighborhood going to be like in 30 years, but you look at the trajectory, I guess.
Yeah. As Jody says, all neighborhoods are different. Real estate is local. But across the board, now is the best time to be buying a home at the interest rates they are now, at the housing values that they are now. I think everyone predicts that both are going to go up, and that's going to be – now's the best time with all the incentives that we have, too.
And I want to say something. Don't buy a house thinking that you're going to make a killing on it. Buy a house because you want to live there. You know, buy a house because you want to live in the given neighborhood. This idea that people can use their homes as a bank to finance all sorts of things and a different kind of lifestyle, that's what got us into the problem that we're in, we experienced, we're still recovering.
Let's go old school on this, right, Diane? Same thing for Dundalk, too. Right?
Absolutely.
So you have a tour coming up. I wanted to mention that. The Housing Festival, is April 18th, right?
That's right.
This is your second one. Do you think anything good came of the first one?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I was very encouraged. It was a lot of work. We had great attendance, great response from the exhibitors, lenders, real estate professionals who were there, as well as the attendees. And for the next one, all the information is on that unexpected.com,
unexpecteddundalk.com
website.
I like that. Unexpected Dundalk. Quick call. Ron, we're down to our last minute. You get it. Go right ahead, Ron.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to, you know, we hear so much about how bad the city is and so many bad things, but I wanted to just comment on my situation. I've got four young kids. We moved from D.C. about 12 years ago to the Canton neighborhood, raised four kids here. Just bought a house in Roland Park, and all I can say is that there are a plethora of resources here, wonderful neighborhoods, amazing people doing great things. And to the person's point before, you know, we bought our house not for the value, but for the neighborhood we wanted to live in, and we're committed to staying here and committed to raising our children here. We're also in a public charter school, and it's been an unbelievable experience for us. So this is just a great city, and it's a great time to be here. And,
all right, Ron.
You know, that's all I can tell you.
Thank you very much. You get the last word in this hour. I want to thank Ken Strong from being here from Baltimore Housing. He's Deputy Housing Commissioner. Diane Lessman from Dundalk Renaissance. You can find information about their fair coming up on April 18th on the Dan Roderick's Facebook page. You can also find information about Live Baltimore's housing tour coming up on May 9th. And Jody Landers, always a pleasure. Where are you working now? Who do you work for?
I'm with the Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, PenFed Realty, their Roland Park office.
I'm glad you said all that instead of me. But thank you very much, Jody.
Glad to be here,
Always Dan. Great to have you and your expertise here. Jody really studies this market closely. Thank you very much. Thank you to Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guests. Diane, did you get the lunch? Was it nice?
It was lovely.
Okay,
thank
you. Eddie's of Roland
Anything
Park.
From Eddie's is.
Yeah, very good. Eddie's of RolandPark.com for more directions and menus for their personal shopping, their sandwiches, and their two stores, Roland Avenue and North Charles Street.